service, our sermon this morning for you. So we want to appreciate all the kids who came along today. And we do have a gift for you. So we wanted to say thank you to all the kids who came this morning. Well done to the parents who got them up ready after such a probably anticipated morning for other things. But we're glad that the kids can come along on Christmas Day. So some of our ushers will have that ready for all of our kids. And how you define that, if you're a big kid, you can get one as well. All right. So, and then I didn't want to forget the adults in the room, and had the privilege of preaching through the book of Ruth a couple of years ago, maybe last year, and had the thought of compiling that and getting that edited and turning that into a devotional. And so we've been able to produce that. I appreciate Bella Gasman, who really helped with the editing and compiling of that. Just went through hours, and you know it's hours because it was me preaching, but it was hours of preaching, and got the transcript of all of the sermons and then compiled that and put it together for me. And then Andrew and the team were able to design that and, of course, printed it at Southland Baptist Press. And so production, sorry. And so that's available for each family. You can take that. It's been designed to be a little bit of a coffee table book. You can keep that. And then also it's got just the learnings that we went through in the book of Ruth. So appreciate all those that labored to get that done and to help me put that out to print. But that's my Christmas gift to you all. And so please take one at the back there after the service. And been a joy to work through that in the last couple of months with everyone. And I'm excited about that. Hopefully we can get a few more out as the years go. But first ever devotional I've ever produced, and so I appreciate those who supported. But grab one. It's for free. You don't have to pay for it. If you don't get it today, you will have to. All right, so let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And on Sunday night, we learnt about the shepherds. And then today, in the reading, we learn about another character that was in amongst that fateful night, that first Christmas. And it's a character that we don't often recognize, don't often speak about around Christmas, but he was a man who was devout, the Bible says. Devout meaning that he was a follower, someone who believed, someone who was faithful. And the Bible says that Simeon, this particular man, was just and devout. And it's interesting, as he begins to recognize being filled with the Holy Ghost, he recognizes the Lord Jesus, some of the things that he says. Notice here in verse 25, "And the same was a just man and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." And so there was a hope, there was a comfort that he was looking to. And Simeon's whole heart was to look for and seek after the one who was going to be the consolation of Israel, or the comfort of Israel. He had his hope set on the coming Messiah. And so Simeon, so happened, as it often is, so happened to be coming to the temple, coming to Jerusalem, where Mary and Joseph were dedicating the child Jesus. And there was a meeting. There was a recognition. And there was a meeting of that consolation that Simeon had so hoped for. And the description that he gives, he takes him in verse 28, "Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And you know, I wonder if there was something that you've been so looking forward to. Maybe some of you've got a bucket list, and there's some things that you really want to do. There's some things that you really want to be able to achieve before, you know, your time runs out. And for Simeon, here he was saying, you know, I can die happy now. I've met and I've found the consolation of Israel, the very one that we've been looking to, the Messiah. He's saying here that he's at peace. For why? For his eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And notice what he says in verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know, there's a running theme. As you think about the situation here, this is another time where this whole concept of light comes into the Christmas story. And here he's given the title of the light that lightens the Gentiles. And by the way, if I could just remind you this morning, that's you and I who are of non-Jewish background. You know, Jesus didn't just come for his people. He came to save all people. He came to the Gentiles like you and I. And yet the Bible says this, he's the glory of Israel. Glory meaning to be highlighted or spotlighted. And we see here that all this time, Simeon was looking for some light. Simeon was looking for some hope. And you understand, when you consider the Christmas story, Christmas begins in the dark. You know, it's not really this whole idyllic calm of a December night, but really he came into a world that was plunged in darkness. His own nation wasn't being ruled by its own people. He had come under the rulership of Rome. In fact, it had come at the time of Caesar Augustus, who, if you look at history, was the very first emperor of Rome. He had taken on that emperorship after the great power struggle of his adoptive father, Julius Caesar, had taken on really Rome and taken it to new heights. And now Caesar Augustus had come in and he had taken rule. And he had taken on client kings like Herod, who we read about in Matthew chapter 2, who goes to seek out to kill Jesus. And what we find is that he's plunged into this world where for his people, they're in the midst of a little bit of turmoil, a little bit of struggle. They weren't in their own, they weren't ruling themselves. And to top it all off, the prophets had gone silent for 400 years. The last book written in the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. And up until this point, the scriptures were silent. The prophets had gone silent. And there was nothing that was spoken until that night in Bethlehem. Guess what? Light flickered again. A child cried, a virgin sang, a world groaned. And the true miracle of Christmas is not that light came after the darkness, but actually light came into it. See, John writes, and we read it on Sunday night, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. That light is Jesus, and finding light in the dark, it takes courage, because when you think about it, light rarely begins as a blaze. It rarely begins as anything. It starts as a bit of a spark. You know, we used to sing that song at camp, Pass It On, It Only Takes a Spark, right? And you know the rest. We won't sing it this morning. But there's just that little flicker that sometimes we need to get things going, to get a blaze going. I remember many years ago, we were at our first, I think it was one of our first ever youth camps. I was one of the youngest in the group. I was 13 or 14 at the time. And we had one of our, I had a friendship group that there were four of us. We sung as a little bit of a quartet. And there was myself, there was John Delos Reyes is here this morning. And there was a guy who was a little older than us, 3 years older than us, Robert. And then the youngest of the group, Robbie. And Robbie was only 11, 10 at the time. And he was going through a tough time. His dad was going through a real, real difficult sickness that eventually would take his life. But at that point, you know, they were just going through that struggle. It was really fresh. And his dad had entrusted him with his leather wallet. And Robbie had taken that to camp. And, you know, he was all very guarded about it. And one night, he couldn't find it. One night he was He was distraught. This was his father's wallet, his late father. And so he couldn't find it. And, you know, it just so happened he had left it. He had left it in his toiletry bag. And he couldn't be happy. We found it. But then the next night, he couldn't find it again. You know, just like typical 10 and 11-year-olds, they just keep losing the same thing, right? I don't know how many pairs of glasses we've been through with Jaden. But anyway, but, you know, 10 and 11-year-olds, they just tend to not be that, as much as they try. And that particular night, he had taken it out and he had dropped it. And this time it was proper lost. And so we went and, you know, we were trying to console him and we were trying to help him, you know, just it's okay. You know, I'm sure your dad would understand that you've lost it and all of that. And that night, those who were in charge of the camp, the owners of the camp, they were volunteer fireys. And so the owner of the camp, he said, "Hey, boys, I want to take you guys out on a joyride on the back of the fire truck." This was the 90s, all right? So you could just do whatever you wanted. And so the rural fire service gave us a joyride on the fire truck in the middle of the night. And he took us out on there. We're on the back of it. We're gallivanting on the in the bush over there in the back of Canberra in Yass, if you've ever been there. And we were just going through the field on this, you know, 1,000 acres. And one of the guys who were the fireys, he came to the back and he said, "Hey, do you want to do some spotlighting?" And we said, "Yeah." So we had two massive spotlights and we were looking for kangaroos, right? And you know, when you're in the back of Yass, it didn't take much. You found a lot of kangaroos. In fact, we probably ran some over. Anyway, but we were just going and we were going for hours and hours. And you know, Robbie got a hold of one of those lights. And you know, he wasn't looking for a kangaroo. He started looking for his wallet. And you know, he started looking around. He started using that spotlight. And wouldn't you know it, at one point, after a couple of hours, he yells out. He said, "Guys, I think I found it." And then we're like, "Yeah, right. Like, are you wearing your glasses? You know, no way." And we went, he convinced us enough for us to turn back around. And sure enough, what he had done, he had put the spotlight out and the little metal, little logo, little icon, little branding, he saw just a little bit of it. And he hadn't, to his credit, given up hope like we did. And because he didn't give up hope, a little glimmer of light flickered. And you know what? He was able to find that wallet. And you know, sometimes when we come to the end of the year, and sometimes when we've gone through some things and maybe the year hasn't quite worked out, you know, one of the things that we can so often neglect to renew and to get back to is just getting back to some hope. Sometimes we get to the end of the year and we've exhausted all of our hope and we feel like we've lost opportunities and lost chances and lost the time and all of that. And yet so many times in our lives, just like Simeon, we need to just continue to hope. And today, as we think about Christmas, as we think about this portion of the story, I want to give you a couple of things here about having courage to hope in the dark. And maybe this Christmas season, and there's been studies now to note that there's this seasonal depressive disorder. There's this real thing that, you know, people go through and they look around and it seems like everyone else is having a shiny time during Christmas, but they look at their own lives and they see some of the dark things. And because of the season that they're going through and the season of Christmas and all of that, they get into, plunge into great darkness. They go into a mindset that perhaps they've lost it all while everyone else seems to be happily going along. And yet sometimes for Christians, I want to tell you that just like Simeon, we can continue to hope in the consolation of Israel. We can continue to hope. And the courage to hope in the dark is something that we as believers can have. And firstly, I want you to note in our lesson here this morning, there's the courage to believe when light seems distant. You see, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, when you're waiting for something, it means that it's still to come. It means that there's still ahead and you might not quite see it, but perhaps just like my friend Robbie, who saw a little bit of a light in the distance, you can just have the courage to believe when light seems distant. You see, in verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting. You know, he hadn't given up hope. He still saw a bit of a glimmer of what was to come. And, you know, the prophet Isaiah, he prophesied in Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And before the shepherds saw the angels or the wise men saw a star, you know, Isaiah saw it. It was written. 7 centuries early, he prophesied light into a world still wrapped in this gloom. And his courage was to believe when nothing looked bright. And you know what? This was Simeon's courage too. And faith always begins there, believing what God has spoken, even when nothing yet shines. And when Simeon, who was filled with the Holy Ghost, in his conviction and courage, when the rest of the world just was going about their day, perhaps even comforted by what was happening in their day, perhaps even resting a little bit content in a sense of what was just happening, the ordinary that was coming, happening in his day, he still had the conviction and the courage to look for the Lord Jesus, to look for the light. And the first lesson, as we think about the courage to believe when light seems distant, is faith must look beyond circumstance. You see, he says in verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And we can imagine that Simeon was getting on in age. He had been waiting and waiting. He had been hoping and hoping, and he didn't know perhaps the day or the hour. He didn't know perhaps when that was to come, and yet he stood solid in the truth that God had placed in his heart. He stood solid on the things that the Holy Ghost had revealed to him that was truth. And faith isn't grounded on our circumstances. It's grounded on the promises of God's word. See, for that to happen, for him to not see death until he sees the Lord's Christ, there had to be a situation and a specific time in which it had to take place, and it had to happen in his lifetime. And yet, when you consider the world in which Israel was in, it just didn't seem to be likely. Israel wasn't even under its own rule. It was under the rule of Caesar Augustus. And he was one that really had taken over the known world at the time. And yet, you understand that by and large, even though that was the case, it was also a time of peace. You know, it was what Caesar Augustus was famous for, bringing in Pax Romana, meaning Rome was at peace. And it's interesting, as you study the history of that, that there were certain things that Jerusalem became because of the partnership between Herod the Great and Caesar Augustus. In fact, Jerusalem had become one of the great cities of the time. Herod had rebuilt the temple. He had made it a commercial success. And Jerusalem had become well known once again. And actually, by and large, under Caesar Augustus, there was seemingly peace. And yet there was an unrest at the time because the Jewish people knew that this wasn't to be, that this shouldn't be. They shouldn't be under another government's rule. They should have had freedom. They should have had, and what had happened, you know, Israel's history, they had gone far from the Lord. Right? They had kings consecutively that just would not follow God. And you understand that they were under judgment. And so these people who were zealots like Simeon, even though the circumstance didn't seem right, they didn't settle for what was the peace of the day. They didn't settle for the current government and what they were providing. He wasn't even hoping in the change of government and all of that. No. He had all of his consolation was not here on earth. It was on the one to come. And there's a great picture for us there too. You know, we don't live in a perfect society, right? Have you noticed? Have you noticed there's issues? Have you noticed that we're living in a world and we're under a government that in many ways adds more confusion and dissipates perhaps even the safety that we ought to feel and have? And yet what we find is our comfort isn't there. Our comfort is in the Lord. Faith looks beyond circumstance. And what Isaiah proclaimed, here's what Simeon did, he believed. You see, faith sees God's promises through the night, not after it. You know, you might look at your own circumstance in your life. And there's many things that are to-ing and fro-ing in your heart. And there's many things that perhaps are causing you to doubt and causing hope to fade. I want to tell you that faith looks beyond circumstance. But faith, secondly, must listen for prophecy in the dark. Meaning this, that there's the scriptures. Meaning this, that he came in verse 27 by the Spirit into the temple. Notice it's to do him after the custom of the law. You know, the whole reason there was a convergence of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and Simeon there was because they were great honorers of the scriptures. They honored the scriptures. Mary and Joseph knew that according to law, before or at the eighth day after birth, they were supposed to bring Jesus there for circumcision. They were supposed to go through the purification process for Mary. And there was a custom in the law in which they were honoring. And what we find is that Simeon was there to honor prophecy, to honor the scriptures. And I want to say that godly outcomes, they only come after following godly places and godly means. You see, sometimes in our circumstances, we see the darkness and we're going through, and perhaps even the clouds of life overshadow our path. I want to tell you that the promises of God, the scriptures, are like the constellations. You may not see them clearly, but you understand them and they will guide your course. You know, for many centuries, sailors in the ancient world, they steered their ships by stars. But you know, the reality was they couldn't always see the stars. The clouds might have covered them. But here's what they trusted. They trusted their position because they trusted in the heavens. And I'll tell you, the faithful do the same. When darkness hides the stars, they will trust the sky. When darkness surrounds you and the things that are in your life don't seem to, and there's darkness there, I want to tell you that the scriptures should give you hope. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might have hope. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we have to understand that so many times, for us to take courage, we've got to hope again in scripture. We've got to hope again in the truth of the Word of God. You see, for Simeon, he wasn't just satisfied with the substitute. He wasn't He wasn't satisfied with another type of consolation. You know, sometimes we would just want to be comforted by our circumstances. You know, and that's, isn't that our prayer so often when circumstances come? Lord, remove the circumstance. Lord, change this and change that. And there's nothing wrong with praying that. There's nothing wrong with praying that the Lord would help us in our nation. There's nothing wrong with the asking the Lord to remove certain things in our lives. And I don't think that's... But, you know, sometimes we can just settle in and our consolation is just what's happening in our lives. And for Simeon, he could have been just... He could have stopped looking for the consolation because he felt consoled already. You know, sometimes we can just get so ingrained in our world that we forget that our hope should be in one that's greater. You know what's interesting? I heard and I studied this week, but Caesar Augustus, who was the ruler of the time, he gave himself an interesting title. And this is an archaeological fact, this is a historical fact. There was coins dug up that bore the image of Caesar Augustus, and he gave himself this name, the Son of God. Do you know that? And he gave himself that because Julius Caesar, his adoptive father, gave himself the title of deity. He called himself the man God. And so Caesar Augustus, to prove that he was the rightful heir to the empire, to the throne of Rome, he gave himself the title of the Son of God, the offspring of God. And he gave himself that title to really show authority and to show the people that he indeed was rightful heir. What's more, he was credited as the man of peace. Because right throughout the kingdom and how he led, how he governed, again, the whole fame that he had was this Pax Romana, Rome at peace. And it's interesting that was what was being portrayed. This was a time of peace, and you have the Son of God that's on the throne. And you know what? You know what? Simeon, if he wasn't discerning enough, could have just said, wow, what a time we're living in. It's a time of peace. It's a time where, wow, we've got this amazing ruler that's given peace. And yet what we find is that he wasn't satisfied with the consolation of his current circumstance. He was looking for the Prince of Peace. Right, church? He was looking for the Son of God. And he wasn't going to be someone who was not discerning about the scriptures. He wasn't going to be someone that was not discerning about the times and the seasons. No, he understood that although someone was an alternative, he wasn't for the alternative. He needed the genuine one. He needed the authentic one. He needed the real one. You know, many times we can look at our circumstances and maybe it's not going bad. Maybe you're pretty happy with how things are going. Maybe in your life you're pretty comfortable right now, and maybe in all of that you're looking at it like, you know what, I'm pretty good. I don't need to keep looking. I don't need to keep seeking. You know what? What we find though is the reality of this. See, the Simeon, he continued to have the courage to look even when the light was a little bit. He continued to look beyond what the world said was sure. He continued to look for the more sure word of prophecy. And we need to get back to that kind of Christianity that doesn't just read their life according to the times. No, they filter their life according to the scriptures. That's the light you need. That's the light that you need to understand. That's the light. That's the filter in which you need to view life. And Simeon waited for the consolation of Israel. The second thing was the courage to recognize light when it appears small. You see, what would you expect? I mean, he was looking for the consolation of Israel in their mindset, and we know this, the general mindset of the Jewish people of the time was there was going to be another governor that was going to overcome this government. And here's what he finds instead. When the Holy Ghost witnesses in his heart that he has indeed seen the consolation of Israel, you know what he finds? He finds a baby. There's a lot of babies here this morning. And there's babies. But babies need a lot of help. Babies, right, are tiny. They can't care for themselves. And yet, here's the consolation. Here's who he was waiting for. He was waiting for a baby. It comes in the package of a baby. You see, in verse 27 to 28, the Bible says he came by the Spirit, capital S in your Bible, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, you know, perhaps in Simeon's mind, he had no idea that he could carry the very consolation he was waiting for in his own arms. Perhaps he thought that this one could pick him up from his desperation and could pick up the kingdom from its dire straits. And yet when light finally came, it didn't look like glory. It looked like weakness. See, the light did come, but there was no palace. There was no trumpet. There was just a trough with a bit of straw. It was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And you know, the light first came as the most needy of all creatures, a child. Those shepherds, those rough men from the hills, you know, they entered the stable and they didn't say a halo. There was a choir. There was just a child. They believed. And here's what I'm saying. Simeon believed too. See, God's light, it often hides in unlikely places. And this, the child Jesus, he wrapped power and omnipotence in infancy. He hid majesty in poverty. And that great prophecy in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and notice this, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yet the child is born, and upon that child's shoulders. See, great faith sees God in small beginnings. He took him up in his arms. There's Andrew's holding Xander right now. And he just took him up in his arms. Some of you, you've got your kids here, and I love it. I love it. It doesn't bother me. Let them cry. I don't care. I really don't. I'd rather they're in church than out of church. But listen, you carry that little child, and you don't know where it's gonna. You know what it's gonna achieve. But you know what? Every child has potential. Every child has the potential to be used. And here, Simeon carries the little child Jesus, the consolation that he was waiting for. Right there. And great faith sees God in the small beginnings. See, the courage of Christmas is not to see something grand. Actually, it's to believe something humble is grand because God is in it. And maybe there's some small beginnings that God's placed in your life. You don't know where it's going to take you. But if you have faith and courage to believe in the dark, then he will take you somewhere. See, 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And so much of God's light comes this way, quietly, inconveniently, unexpectedly, and only faith can recognize it. You know, I heard a story about a father who was quite well off, and it was a Christmas, and his kids, his oldest kid was turning 18. And so the kid, as an 18-year-old, he was anticipating a really good gift. He was thinking, you know, he had given enough hints to his dad I want a car. Oh, that's a nice car. Oh, that car would look nice in red. You know how kids sort of hint, even 18-year-old kids. And so this 18-year-old kid had given enough hints that he thought his dad would have definitely, I mean, his dad could afford it. A brand new sports car would be nice. And that Christmas came and he got a wrapped gift. It was a bit narrow. So it was a bit, you know, looked like a rectangle. He felt it. He unwrapped it. And you know what? To his surprise and a little bit of disdain, it was a Bible. Wow, some of you are like, oh, you know, like yes, amen. You know, we're in a Baptist church. But anyway, it's Christmas. So, you know, we're thinking, anyway. But so he gets a Bible and he's like, another Bible. And he sets it aside. And he was disappointed. And he thought, oh, you know, at least the thought that counts and all of that. And a year or two went by and this young man, he hadn't picked up that Bible. Just left it to gather dust. And it was right there. And he came to a point in his life where he needed to make some decisions. And he was now 20, 21, and he had wasted 2-3 years of his life. And he goes, you know what, maybe I should pick up that Bible. And he picks up that Bible, and he flicks through it, and on the back, he didn't realize there was an envelope. And in that envelope, there was a key with a little letter to say, when you open this, you can go pick up your brand new car. And you know, sometimes we never find the treasures and the answers and the hope because we never open the Word. We leave it aside like it's not as valuable as the other things in our lives. And God, great faith sees God in small beginnings. And it might just be that you just begin to get back in the Word. Get back into opening the Scriptures and seeing the wonder and the marvel of God Almighty. And you might start to get back to just a discipline and a commitment and a devotion on the things of Scripture. But the courage to see, the courage to recognize light when it appears small, but then the courage to see light when the world feels dark. You see, again, he was in this situation, and notice verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You see, the world just seemed, darkness enveloped it. And yet, this man Simeon, he stood there, he'd waited all of his life for the promise of the Messiah. And when he finally held the Christ child in his arms, the world outside hadn't changed. Rome was still Rome. It still ruled. There was still something to come. And yet Simeon says, in faith, yet mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And what we know is really Jesus came and he was rejected, right? He was rejected of his own. And so what happens, it becomes a time of the Gentiles. And the thought of the Messiah wasn't on everyone's heart at the time because the world that they lived in, it just seemed too complicated and unwelcoming. And yet Simeon had the courage to keep on. And courage keeps believing between announcement and fulfillment. You see, he had the knowledge which thou hast prepared. And Simeon's response is really the sound of someone who's seen enough of God to trust him for what's still unseen. And maybe here's a good idea over the Christmas season is you just take some knowledge and take some remembrance of all that God has already done in your life so that you could fill your heart with hope again. You see, courage keeps shining when the night continues. It's a light to lighten the Gentiles. And we understand that through Israel, the world has seen the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon knew that light had come. But here's the reality. Darkness hadn't gone. And true faith, it doesn't wait for actual perfect circumstances. It actually continues to worship in the imperfect ones. You see, you think about a candle. We had our candles. Who kept those, by the way? Who kept those? All right, good, good. All right, we used them again last night, some of us at our parents, my parents' place, but at the Dallas Races. But, you know, it was fun on Sunday night to have all of the candles. I know it was candles, all right? But you know what a real candle does. It, for many years, candles were really the main light source at night, lamps and so forth. But a candle, it doesn't actually alleviate the night, right? When you light a candle, the whole world doesn't go bright, right? But what a candle does, it defies the night. It defies it. Its flame helps us continue to have hope until there's light, until the morning comes. And you know, for many of you, maybe you've had a power outage. We've had a few over the last year. You've had your, you know, trusty torch. But for many others, it was just that little candle. I'm so glad I kept that candle. You know, my 16th birthday candles. I keep, you know, I'm glad they still light up, whatever. Like, you know, you find candles, you just want some light. Why? It's just trying to get you by until the light comes. And so many times when we go through, we get a little flicker of light and we sort of go, is that it, Lord? That's it? I mean, I hoped and hoped and you give me this. No, listen, it's just a little hope to get you to the great hope. It's just a little hope until it's solved. It's just a little hope until the morning comes. And it's just a little, and the candle doesn't actually alleviate the night. It just defies it. And you know, those of us who are believers, the truth is we're the light. And here's the last point I want to make. We need to have the courage to shine the light even if it offends. Because here's what he was saying in verses 33 to 35. We didn't read it, so follow along with me. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set. Notice this, for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, this consolation, this comfort, actually came to offend. It actually came to divide. He says, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many. And he's saying to them, in effect, you know, be courageous. Have some courage to take this on. And the courage of Christmas becomes really the calling of discipleship. It's not just to admire the light, but actually it's to carry it into dark places, to declare to others who he is, the light of the world. And I love the scriptures. Look at Matthew chapter 5, and we'll quickly turn there and then we'll be nearly done. Matthew chapter 5. And this is a wonderful passage of scripture where the Bible reminds us, ye are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, the truth is light does reveal and light does expose. This child is set for the fall and rising of many, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In Romans 9, verses 32 to 33, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There are those who are stumbling over Christ. There are those who there's that the cornerstone of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's meant to be that great foundation. And yet there are those who stumble upon him. Why? Because they find him offensive. Because it's exposed their heart. He's exposed their motives. He's exposed their sin. He's exposed their need for a Savior. And you know, man's pride won't want him saved. He wants to save himself. And what's happened is the light exposes and reveals. You see, it's easy to sing of the brightness of Bethlehem and the brightness of Christ, and yet still live dimly. But courage means shining when it costs something, when it draws questions, or when it burns away comfort. And the courage of Christmas, what I'm saying is, must become the courage of the church. Because church, can I remind you this morning, we're not keepers of a candle, but bearers of a flame. See, the same God who stepped into the world's night now steps into it through ours. You're the light. He is the light, but you're the reflection of that light. And we might live in a world of seeming darkness, but guess what? You are the light of the world. And we ought to go about, and we need to have the courage to shine the light, even if it offends. Even when we go into our workplaces, as we return back soon enough, and there's that coworker that just needs the Lord, but maybe a little anti, maybe a little bit belligerent towards a hill that can't be hid. This little light that needs to shine, and there you are, able to speak, able to lend comfort, able to reveal and expose. That's light. And I want to remind you, believers, this morning, that yes, there might be those who will be offended, but there will be many others who might believe. And your witness at this time is needed. And your light this time is needed. And the courage to shine the light, even if it offends, is the need of the hour. And so, as we close off this message on Christmas Day, see, Christmas is not that there's no darkness, but here's what it is, that darkness does not win. And the light of the world has come not to escape the night, but to fill it. And the cradle was heaven's cradle, and it was given here on this in this world to just address its gloom. In John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And this is the courage of Christmas, to find the light in the dark, to follow it even when it flickers, and to shine it until He comes again. And so take heart, Christian. The night might be long, but I want to remind you this morning, the light has already won. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time that we've had. And Father, thank you for the wonderful reminder through the life of one Simeon, who just through courage continued to hope in the dark. And Father, the reality is that Each of us here, we live in a dark world. There's darkness and wickedness in high places, and we understand, dear God, that we have a great responsibility yet to be the light, to be the light that is set on a hill, to be those that are bearers of the light, to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord. I pray for those that perhaps they need hope this morning. I pray that you'd fill them up again, Lord. I pray that the scriptures burn in their hearts, and that, Lord, it'll just give them the light that they need to just take another day, to take another step. And I pray that they'd grow in their hope in you. And I pray that you'd help each and every one of us. I pray for those who perhaps they're here and they've never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as we've lifted you up, that you would draw them to you. Father, you said in your word that today is the day of salvation. And I pray for those that don't have you as Savior, that today they would come to know you, the light of the world. I pray that you please bless our church, bless those who are also traveling already. Pray that you'd bring us safely back at the next appointed time. Lord, we love you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's sing this song, Merry Christmas once